Welcome to the Totally Transformed podcast. My name is Lance Borden, and I'm here today with my mom, Christian psychologist and author, Dr. Connie Borden. How are you today, Mom?
I am so great.
One of the things that we get to do when we do these podcasts is really talk through things that are present day for us, different things that the Lord is showing us, real life issues, different topics. That hopefully keeps it changing for you out there that are listening to us. But one thing we never want to leave is our core message that God has given us. And if you've seen our logo, the logo for Totally Transformed Ministries, it's a picture of two trees. One is dead or dormant, and the other one is alive and flourishing. And really that's intended to be a picture of a transformation, hence our name, of what God can do in our lives when either we've been dead or maybe we've been felt like we've been dormant. Things have been hidden under layers or buried under layers of hurts and wounds, and we just can't seem to bud and flourish the way we know we're capable of with God's help. And so we're starting a new series here today called Healing on the Inside. And we want to talk through the core messages of our ministry. Jesus came and in Luke 4:18 and 19 and said that he came to heal the brokenhearted and set at liberty those that are bound. And so what do you think, Mom? What direction do you want to go with this series?
Well, I felt directed to do this on the radio show, too, that I do every week on. If you're not familiar with that, that's on 100.7 FM every Sunday at 3 o'clock.
KWRD and KWRD. DFW Metroplex. Uh-huh.
And I felt led to recycle, though some people have potentially read the book, they've been at the seminar or heard our message on podcast or on the radio show, because it's ever evolving in me. And this is the reason why it is, because I hope, like you out there that's listening, God is ever evolving in you, and he's giving you more and more revelation. So you will hear in this series some of the same ideas as far as the foundation that God imparted to us. But I think you'll hear maybe some different stories or different applications or expansion of what we're imparting, because we are called, as Lance said, to the brokenhearted. We are called to people that want to be significant, but they're just surviving, maybe because they're addicted to something to self-medicate their pain that comes from physical, sexual, verbal, mental, relational abuse, spiritual abuse, or they're successful in the sense that they're trying to medicate their pain through the world's definition of success, and nothing wrong with being successful unless you're wounded. And then these things of position and fame and money sometimes can become an idol to distract you from the pain. And I'm so clearer now, I think, than I've ever been before, that if you're in pain, either physically, and that's the best way to understand it, because people understand physical pain. They can see it. They know what caused it, usually, like a broken leg, for example. If you're in severe pain, you have to attend to it. And nothing else really matters. It takes over. It's like primary needs. Like eating is a primary need. Breathing is a primary need. This is maybe personal. Going to the bathroom is a primary need, right, if you have to bad enough. And pain.
Sleeping.
Sleeping and pain. And if you are defunct or without those things, you're going to focus on fixing them. And the difficult part about our ministry and the difficult part about people fixing healing on the inside, that's why we're calling this Healing on the Inside. I want to emphasize this time around that you can look wonderful on the outside. Everything can be going really great and you can look good and as far as people know, but you can be so much in pain on the inside and nobody knows it. And then the second piece I want to say about that is that not only doesn't anybody know it, Satan loves it. Because he loves to work in the dark. Okay?
Right.
So, and we're pretty good performers. It's hard to really get authentic and honest about our pain. That's why I'm so happy for the practice that's provided in the DFW area, Borden Psychological, where we deal with that, and the seminars that we're doing, because people hopefully can come there and get real about their pain. Mm, right. They can feel that we understand the pain. We understand why you have the pain. We know how to help the Lord help you fix the pain. We have people that will agree with you about the pain. And then we hope that we're not just giving you a fish so you can eat for that day, but we're teaching you how to fish so you can eat for a lifetime as it applies to how to deal with rejection and hurt, because that's the core.
Which, by the way, the next one is Friday, May 8th, 2020.
Yes.
At the Hope Center in Plano,
yes,
Texas. And you can go and actually register for that today, right now, at totallytransformed.org/events.
That's right.
And we'd love to see you there. But anyway, I just wanted to interject
that. No, I appreciate that. You saying that. And if you've never been, it's a beautiful venue as well as a beautiful place to seek the Lord, which we give you time to do that with us together about over this information as well as on your own and some directed assignments. I don't think you'll leave there not being ministered to in some way, because that's what we pray to, for. We don't know necessarily the people who are coming, but Lord, anoint us so that the word that's ministered and everything reaches each heart where they are.
Right.
And we've seen the evidence of that in the seminars we've done in the past. So today, in kind of going through the principles again, one thing that, Lance, you do so well is as the president of the board of Totally Transformed Ministries, is every time we have a board meeting, you impart scriptures that may be fairly familiar to the people, you that are listening to us today, or maybe that you've been familiar with our ministry. But nonetheless, Habakkuk 2:2 says, "Then the Lord replied, 'Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it.'" Or if you put it in the New King James Version, which is more familiar, "Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it." Mm. And without vision, my people perish.
Right.
Is what the word says. And even many of you may know that's listening to us today that before I became a psychologist, I was a teacher. And one of the things that I think made me be an effective teacher is I was always trying to impart vision to my students. Lance was my first student, and we homeschooled him for a few years. And of course, we discipled him to the best of our ability all the time to raise him up in the way he should go in the nurture and admonition of Christ. But there's so many people today that don't have vision. And that's why the word is so clear there. People feel useless. And so that's what the highest reason for suicide.
Right.
And with my students, I maybe said this before, but it was never about just learning grammar or spelling or whatever. It was imparting a vision that these are the pieces that someday you will write or add something or do something that could change the whole world.
Right.
And the example that I used with you, if you'll remember, and this is why this is ever evolving. Your dad and I are watching a series, or have watched, on George Washington. And it really graphically laid out the Battle of Gettysburg, which was in December. It was the turning point of the Revolutionary War. And they had hardly no supplies. Some of them didn't have shoes. They were, you know, really a ragtag team. But and Washington had lost to the British several battles before this one, and they were really discouraged. But Thomas Paine was writing a pamphlet at that time, and George Washington got a hold of it, as I understand it, and read it to his men. "Are you going to be a sunshine patriot?" A sunshine soldier, which is hard to say, or a patriot. In other words, are you going to have everything going just perfectly for you and it's nice weather outside? And he feels like it was the turning point of inspiration, and that battle they won, and it was the turning point of the Revolutionary War, proving that the pen can be mightier than the sword.
Right.
So imparting vision to my students, or imparting vision to you out there about the healing on the inside, we want to write that vision on your heart from where the Lord gave it to us and from where it is in the Word. And also to let you know that if you can pray for God to impart this as a revolution, not just a revelation, not just as a Logos word, but something that He really wants to do, because these are our calling. The verses were given to me in Isaiah 61:1-4, and to Dad, to your dad, which is my husband, which is the co-founder of this ministry, Bill, in Luke 4:18-19. And when they were given in our early years, we didn't even know that I didn't even know, as not knowing the word as well as I do now, and we could never know it enough, that one was a prophecy in the Old Testament that was fulfilled by Jesus when he started his ministry. So I hope that's exciting to you. It's exciting to me. It never leaves my heart because it is a revelation. And mm-hmm. if you're listening to us and you feel like you've been so hurt and rejected and wounded and you're in so much pain that you can't get out of it, that is a lie.
Right.
There's no pit so deep that God's not deeper still, as Corey Ten Boom quoted one time. You know, scripture is he picks me up out of the miry clay. You might feel like you're mired in clay and quicksand, and sets my feet on the rock to stay. Well, who's the rock? Jesus Christ. So in just this preliminary introduction, you said the verses in Isaiah 61:1-4. I like 4 especially. We thought about calling this ministry Oaks of Righteousness one time,
right?
Because it says when he has done all these things, when he has anointed and qualified us to preach the gospel to the meek, the poor and afflicted, to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty. Notice in the Amplified, it says to the physical and spiritual captives. Mm-hmm. So this could include physical healing and opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound. If that's how you feel today, because of abuse, this is a revelation to you about what Jesus did. And then when he started his ministry, he imparted that revelation to the people that could hear it. The religious leaders of the day could not hear it. Mm-hmm. I was thinking the other day, if we had a conference on healing today, Jesus probably wouldn't be invited to speak. maybe, you know, because there was just a blindness to his power and his anointing and his revelation. And sometimes religious people aren't necessarily wanting to walk in the type of power and anointing that we feel is necessary to pray for somebody. And sometimes people, the messengee, if that's a word, you told me you weren't sure it was a word, but anyway, the people that are receiving the message may not want to really get that real. Mm-hmm. And that's one of our limitations. In the sense that, you know, we think that this is a deep work. It is a comprehensive work. And sometimes people are so much into surviving and success that they think they're okay, but maybe they're really not okay mm-hmm. as far as bearing fruit, you know. So, right.
Would you want to read Isaiah 61:1-4? Because I just kind of gave a small portion of Luke 4 at the beginning. Luke 4 being the fulfillment of Isaiah 61, when Jesus stood up in the temple to read Isaiah 61:1-4.
Yeah, and when I read it, bear with me, because I really like to read it in the Amplified, ending with the verse that I was alluding to, that not only does he want to heal you, he wants to make you an oak, like an oak tree
right.
of righteousness. So it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and afflicted. Though it's a prophecy about Jesus and his ministry, it's really a prophecy to everyone that's reading this verse. He has anointed everyone that comes into a salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ, and your specific domain may not be healing the brokenhearted, but he has called you to preach the gospel, which wherever that leads, you know. And he has not only qualified you, he's anointed you. And, you know, it says in Psalm 58 that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke.
Right.
So when your message goes forth under an anointing, which we all can receive if we believe that that's what the Lord wants to give us, that is just like the anointing of Jesus, which really then ministers to people. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison of the eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim, verse 2, the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament, a garland, or a diadem of beauty instead of the ashes, the oil of mourning instead of the garment expressive of praise, instead of a heavy burden and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, and magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So that was the third verse I was talking. And then why? So that those oaks of righteousness in verse 4, and they shall rebuild the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations and renew the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. And if I could, that gives, I have goosebumps, because if I could say what I believe the outcome of our ministry is to each and every person, whether it's one person or a thousand,
right,
is right there, that you are equipped and healed so that you can go on and do what it says to rebuild the ancient ruins, to raise up the former desolations and renew the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations, because the sins of the fathers are visited to the third and fourth generation, but the righteousness of the fathers are visited unto a thousand generations, which in my math, that's into eternity.
Right.
So we can make a decision, you that I'm talking to right day, today, you out there that feel broken, hurt, wounded, abused, rejected, discouraged, lie-based in your thinking, because that's what comes out of being wounded. And you're relating to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through the eyes of the father, mother, sister, brother, babysitter, teacher, unfortunately church worker, that abused you in all the ways that can be abusive. And I don't think there's, well, there may be something I haven't heard, but I don't think so. It's just grievous to know that fellow men can do stuff to other fellow men that is so harmful.
Right.
And sometimes it's even in Christian circles.
Right.
So I know as I'm talking to you today that I'm talking to you with what my gift is, one of my motivational gifts is to encourage you, to say that no matter what has happened to you by men or women in your life, God is your father. He's the father to the fatherless. He's a husband to the husbandless. You can put anything in there. He's a brother to the brotherless. He's everything you need. He's feminine. He's masculine. His love is infinite. His love says, the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. All the things that manifest from being abused that keep you from walking in the vision that Jesus has for your life that is so clearly laid out here. And then I said that Lance lays out for our board and our ministry every chance he gets, because we can forget the vision.
Right.
We can not only forget it, we can not let the Lord expand it.
Mm-hmm.
I think every time, and of course, you know, my mentality or my philosophy is that if you memorize something, then you can go over it and over it, no matter where you are. You don't need a Bible. You don't even need a cell phone. And not only that, because he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, he will expand it. I cannot ever not have this verse expanded. It's like, I know it, I've memorized it, and if I go over it, I'll get something else out of it. And I know now what the Lord meant when the prophecy came forth over your dad and I, that if you're building a house and you use inferior materials or the foundation's broken, the house is not going to stand in the wind and rain and the storm. Likewise, that's a picture of the body of Christ. They are broken in their foundations, meaning they haven't had the love they need in the way they needed it, from whom they needed it, at the time they needed it, which is my definition of rejection. And they grow up with these broken, wounded souls and hearts. We believe the soul is a segue of the heart. We'll talk about that more in another part of this series. And therefore, they are limited. It's like they have a broken leg on the inside. They need to be healed on the inside because they are responding to God, themselves, and other people through this brokenness. And they may not even know it.
Right.
Even though they're saved. Thus, my book is called Saved But Not Free, which I didn't, you know, you can get at savedbutnotfree.com or Amazon. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it, not because I want to sell books, but because the people that tell me they have read it and read it again and a third time have gotten set free and healed because of the foundation there. And now we're expanding the vision to include seminars. People come and see me one-on-one in the practice if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We have a radio show. We have a podcast. We have resources at totallytransformed.org. We want to help you. We're taking the video that was made in the seminar that we did in September, the last seminar before this one coming up. We're going to make it in deliverable segments of lessons where it's being taught, and then there's questions and a study guide. So we're trying to get it all over the world, hopefully in my lifetime. My lifetime is shorter than your lifetime. Hopefully passing down a legacy to the next generations, as this says, so we can all rebuild the ancient ruins, because the enemy has been extremely successful in one thing, right behind keeping you from being saved. He's done a great job in wounding people, causing them to be hurt and rejected, so he can have a hook in their jaw their entire life. And sometimes when I get people in my office, these are the most confused people, because they say, I'm saved.
Right.
Wait, I have eternal life. What's wrong with me? And we can explain that, but it needs to be explained and over, because we can't see it. We can't see your broken heart. We can't see your wounded soul, but we can help. If that's what's happened, because of my experience, which I'll talk about a little bit maybe next time, of my life experience of being hurt and wounded as a child, starting to carry that into my adult life, and how the Lord arrested me fulfilling that prophecy given several years before. It's just amazing how he'll speak to you. And that's another thing maybe we should say, the fulfillment may not be instant. It may be if you need an immediate answer, but it may be many years later,
right,
through a lifetime of training. And I can honestly say there's not one thing, not one year, moment of my life that God hasn't used to fulfill what I call our final appointing.
Right.
You know, you're anointed, then you're trained. Between the anointing and the appointing, there's a training. I think this is our final appointing. I mean, unless God tells me something else, but, you know, Dad is 71 and I'm almost 70. And I'm excited about it, because I know that if Satan said it's not enough to keep people from being saved, I'm going to come in a more subtle way behind that, so they can't figure out what's wrong, to keep them insignificant, which is directly proportional to being an evangelist. Because if you have a broken leg, you can't run a race. If you have a broken heart, you can't run the race of spreading the gospel. And some people are scared to death to evangelize, because they have a fear of man, because somebody beat the heck out of them one day.
Right.
So that's my introduction there.
That's good. Well, what I love about what you said there is that it's generational. And, you know, the end of Isaiah 61, 1 through 4 talks about the generations and how this isn't just a decision for you. It's a decision for those that follow after you.
That's
and
right.
you can pass along your dysfunction, and it can be replicated for the next umpteen generations. Or you can choose to get before the Lord and receive all the healing and freedom that he has for you, and impart that to the next generation, which can completely change the future.
Yeah, and that's why I'm so excited about what I do, because, and what we do, because whether I see one person in my office, or I see two people, or we see 30 or 60 at a seminar, it's such a ripple effect. It may be its quality that is affecting the people there in the next generations, because if someone comes that's wounded, they're going to pass that on to their children. And their children's going to pass it on to their children. So in response to your generational comment, we never know, and we'll never know to eternity, how many people were affected by one-on-one. Jesus said, leave the 99, go for one. This is not a brief solution therapy ministry. And I don't do brief solution therapy in my office, because the Lord has done I mean, the enemy has done such a great job on layer upon layer, wound upon wound, stronghold upon stronghold with people, that it takes a comprehensive look to see what's wrong and how to fix it. And sometimes it takes some time. Sometimes it takes coming to a seminar two or three times, reading the book four or five times, memorizing scripture, whatever you need to do. But I just keep getting this feedback that every time, I mean, I've had people now in therapy that have been in therapy, worked on one problem, a really serious problem, like terribly abused, then come back two or three years later because they've been hurt again and they need to renew the principles. My goal would be that everybody would meditate on the word, which is one of the first principles, the 5 hours to victory to your thought life, and follow through. But we all need encouragement. And so I find that it's like fathomless, really, in its impact for generations and its impact on each and every person or group that we see, though we might not see the outworking totally, but that's not our need to see it.
Right.
You know, in Hebrews 11, some people didn't see what they were standing for, even right. as we've had the privilege to see Jesus come, die, raise again, and walk in the power of his delegated authority and spirit.
Right. So in this series, Healing on the Inside, talk a little bit about what we're going to be going over the next weeks.
Well, I'm going to be going over a basic summary. What we've done this time for you that might be interested in coming to the seminar, we have summarized the book in a seminar, but then we've also made a spiral guide that goes with it. That it just distills it and makes it even more clear. So basically, we're going to be clarifying some of the key principles as we go through it that we go through in the seminar and giving more input from examples of people that have been healed. And just like my example today, the first time we taught this, you hadn't imparted the vision many times. Mm-hmm. Four years times, we meet 3 to 4 times a year, 16 times, right. to the board. Mm-hmm. And that spoke to me, mm-hmm. you know, about Habakkuk 2:2. So I think that people that are listening to us that have maybe listened to a series about healing from us or somebody else will be more inspired, because I think it's going to be different reflections and mm-hmm. understandings and revelation
right.
on some of the same principles. So right. we'll be going over the basic principles.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, never like to end a podcast without praying. And so let's do that now. For whatever your hurt or wound may be that's top of mind, or whatever stronghold that you may be trying to get free from that's top of mind, let's agree in prayer right now that the Lord would heal you as yes, you listen Lord. To these podcasts and as you go forward in your day-to-day. So, Lord, we just come before you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the privilege we have to come before your throne of grace. And we bring our hurts and our wounds, Lord. We bring our strongholds, the sin patterns that we've struggled with, maybe our entire lives, and we submit them to you, and we ask you, Lord, to do a healing work in our hearts and our souls, God.
Yes, Lord.
We ask you to set us free, Lord, to make us whole, God, so that we can go forward in your purposes and your destiny
yes.
and accomplish all that you have in your heart and mind for us to do, to expand your kingdom and to thrive in your kingdom.
Yes.
And Lord, we just want we want to be healed and whole first and foremost, and then we want those that follow us, the generations that are coming after us, to also be healed and whole.
Yes.
So we lift up our families, our spouses, our children, and we ask that this healing and freeing work that you're going to do in us would have a ripple effect in yes. our children's and our families and our spouses' lives, that they would be completely healed and
Amen.
Set free.
Amen.
And Lord, we just believe in faith that you're going to do that, multiplied many times over in the lives of those that listen to this podcast series. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You know, I just had this thought while we were praying that somebody could be healed that's listening, you that are listening to us today, could be healed today. With that prayer, with the revelation that you got, because we're not the healers.
Right.
The Holy Spirit and God's the healer. And so that's what's exciting as you go through this series, or you come in the seminar, or you come anywhere where anybody has an understanding and anointing. You don't have to know everything for God to heal you right where you are, because He is the healer and He is the fulfillment.
Amen.
Of this vision.
Amen. Yeah. It's so good. Well, thank you for joining us today on the Totally Transformed podcast. Come be a part of our next live seminar on May 8th, 2020, Friday, May 8th, 2020, at the beautiful Hope Center in Plano, Texas. And to register for that, go to totallytransformed.org/events, and you'll find more information about it there and an opportunity to register for that event. So we'll talk to you next time on the Totally Transformed podcast.